I want to thank you for your participation in this meeting, and especially for those of you who took part in our collegial circles focused on collegiality on Tuesday. This is a time when we need one another, and we will take the information that you shared Tuesday about the forms of collegiality that are working for you into our deliberations, and they will be published in upcoming UUMA publications. In turn, we're going to ask you to consider reconnecting with the UUMA activities in maybe just one or two additional ways in the coming year. We are really trying to have a time to work together. And as we're letting people kind of come in, the board had four goals this year, and I wanted to take a moment to review them with you. If we could have that slide, that would be great. It's coming, I know. Thanks. So these were our goals for the board. Continue to move towards a new vision for board governance as a board and in collaborative relationship with the executive team that can be sustained now and into the future. Amplify the work of the UUMA executive team, staff, and volunteer leaders working to strengthen collegial connections and chapters and to expand our collective capacity to gain those ministerial skills which help us in these changing and turbulent times. Lead towards the implementation of the work of the Commission on Institutional Change, Guidelines, and Right Relations. And finally, engage in leadership-level conversations about the rapidly and dramatically changing landscape in ministry and to advocate for the kinds of changes that can make paid professional ministry sustainable. Thank you for those. I wanted to mention those because in this post-2020 world, we're all trying to figure out what will hold and what will give, what's solid and what is kind of a mass of glutinous yuck underneath us. And as you'll hear in just a little while, too many of us are asking very basic questions about our profession, as we heard in the current trends in parish ministry presentation in May. Many who were among our colleagues are choosing to leave, and many more of us are considering this option. As those called into this work and as people of exceptional dedication and resourcefulness, your board is asking all of us to give some of that energy, not to despair, rather to efforts to help us identify what needs to change and the ways that we can work together to address those things. And that will be the focus of our conversations today. As you will hear from our executive team members, much of it is underway on our behalf. Now is the time for us to add our considerable resources to meeting these challenges with faith and fortitude. I now call the 2023 annual meeting back to order, and I recognize our UUMA treasurer, Carol Thomas Sissel.
Ooh, that looks like me.
Can't buy me love. Makes you feel alright. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel alright. Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. Can buy me love. Everybody tells me so. Can buy me love. No, 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 no.
Hello. Good afternoon. It is good to be with all of you. Last year, I set a new tradition and added music to the treasurer's report. This year, as you could hear, I had a little more fun and found the Beatles' Money Can't Buy Me Love. I think we need to find delight and joy as often as possible in any place that we can these days. Most of what I'm going to share with you was in the annual meeting packet, but I do want to present it verbally too. June 2023 marks my end of your third year as the UUMA treasurer. Serving in this role continues to be enlightening and satisfying. 2022-2023 was another year of change and transition, and we moved through it probably with a bit of hesitation. Mandated mask wearing and regular school closings are mostly a thing of the past. The personal and professional repercussions, though, of the global pandemic are still with us. Inflation is looming. Interest rates are continuing to fluctuate. Overall, in our lives, the daily pressure to rotate, to swivel, to pivot, to change plans, it's eased off a little bit. But serving the communities in front of us and the congregations that we love remains intensely challenging. Frankly, being a Unitarian Universalist minister in these times is challenging and tough for all of us. Last year, I wrote these words, and I think they still hold a deep, abiding truth. I'll quote myself. Dear ones, we are living through change and transition and turmoil, but I hope that you, like me, can remain hopeful and hope-filled. I believe we will get through whatever we have to face together. Let me offer you a broad view of the UUMA's financial context. What I first am going to give you is a list of what our annual budget figures were for the past 7 years. In 2017, $1,048,000. That was the year of our negotiated resignation. In 2018, $1,163,340. That was an institute year. In 2019, $905,349. In 2020, $782,987. What I want you to take notice of as I speak is that our budget fluctuates, that as times change, our figures change, and what we have to manage changes too. 2021, $745,597. 2022, back to a face-to-face institute year, $1,370,181. And in 2023, when I first wrote this in April, our projected budget was $953,000. So as you can see, the budget isn't stagnant. It fluctuates, it moves when the association moves and our needs change. While our executive team carefully handle our finances, as we move into 2023-2024, we are projecting a deficit year. We are transparent about that, and we want you all to know exactly what is going on. To help that happen, I'm offering to talk to any of you that would like to email me, send me a message, and want to have a deeper chat about finances at the UUMA. My friend and colleague and stalwart companion in money matters, Jeanette, is always open to a conversation with you. What we want you to know is that it's important that you're part of this discussion, and that the money we manage, being your money, that it matters. The rest of my report, primarily, we have seen this deficit because of two reasons. There's a decreased income due to slow payment of annual membership dues, and there's an increased cost due to website revision. Hopefully you've been to the website and you've seen it. It's new, it's magnificent, it's speedy, it gets you where you want to be in less time than it took before, and it keeps track of our members and our business in an easier fashion than before. While we're continuing to receive dues, we're projecting an overall loss of up to $36,000. Our staff is working during this time, though, to cut costs, to minimize the overall loss, to raise the number of members that we have. And the board has introduced, a new initiative where we're individually going to step in, and we'll be contacting some members that have lapsed memberships and bringing them back, hopefully, into community and into the fold. We are vibrant and viable. As we look at 2022-2023, here's a few highlights. The UUMA's overall expenses did increase due to staff changes, the upgrade to the new website, and a return to in-person meetings, which we're really glad that we're having in-person meetings again. Returning to those in-person events, though, will increase our costs. Participating at collaborative events and using technology simply costs more money. The registration for upcoming ministry days is very strong. We're going to have another ministry days where we are in person and we are online and we are in community. To do that takes technology, and to have the technology we need takes money. Our program income is up due to the neurodivergence series. I'm hoping that more of you participated in that than I know of, that it really was broad spread and you enjoyed that series. We received also this year what felt a little bit like a windfall. There was about $22,000 that was discovered, sort of as an error, but mostly as something that was lost in the transition between times with mostly volunteers running the organization and the movement to professional staff. Back in 2003, there was an account that sort of went, I guess the words I want to use is adrift. We didn't lose any money. We simply didn't carry it on the balance sheet as we should have. There was, funds in that account that have now been completely recovered, and they're in the general reserves to help support any of our budget losses. I like being your treasurer. I've been told I'm fairly good at it, and that my presence on the board is helpful, that it adds some clarity, that I bring a sense of humor, and that having me in the room can help us move through tough conversations. Those are all great things. I like accolades like anybody else. But mostly, I want you all to know how much I enjoy being with the people on this board. Their level of dedication, their wanting to help, to be of service, is beyond words. And the exec team and the staff that we have together, that we work with together, I would echo all those same things for them. We have an amazing staff. They are always looking out for us, and they are always taking care of our needs. As I close this report, I'll say it again. You are welcome to email me or to get in touch with me by phone. You are welcome to contact Jeanette if you have deep questions and you want to know more. Transparency is extremely important to us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a member of this organization. And remember, money can't buy you love, but money does move this organization from point A to point B and keep us going forward. 2023-2024 is going to be an excellent year. That's my report.
Thank you, Carol.
You are welcome, Leslie.
Thank you for your continued service as our treasurer, and thank you also to Jeanette Lollier, who helps us keep on the right track on this as well. Next, I would like to invite our election tellers to report on the results of our election.
Just waiting for Chip and Jamie to come up here with me as well. There we go. All righty. Thank you so much, Leslie. So Chip, Jamie, Jeanette, and I met this morning to confirm that there were no double votes and to certify the results of the ballot. Fortunately, our new voting software does not allow for double voting. So we thank our UUMA staff for making investments that allow us to vote with ease and with security. We also had one person who called to let us know that there was a typo in an earlier version of the ballot. Jeanette corrected that error, so thank you for calling. And now the results. 252 members voted in total. And for the proposed bylaws revision 1 to Article 1, Section 3, which changes how we express the purposes of our UUMA, the votes were 244 yes, 8 no, and no abstentions. Revisions to Article 1, Section 3, pass. For proposed bylaws, Revision 2 to Article 14, Section 1, which deleted the unnecessary word mailed to provide more options for notifying the membership about amendments to the bylaws. The votes were 250 yes, 2 no, and no abstentions. The revision to Article 14, Section 1 passes. For approval of the nominating slate, which included re-electing the Reverend Carol Thomas Sissel as UUMA Board Treasurer, electing the Reverend Joseph Santos Lyons as Board Trustee at Large for widening the circle of concern, and electing the Reverends John Coffey and Edith Love to our nominating committee, the votes were 246 yes, 2 no, and 4 abstentions. The slate was approved. Both bylaws amendments passed. All nominated committee candidates were elected. So thank you, Chip and Jamie, for your availability and consistency as we did this work. And especially thank you to Jeanette for supporting us during this time and making this work an easy lift. Back to you, Leslie.
Thank you, Greg, Chip, and Jamie. Appreciate all of you. Next, I would like to invite our executive leadership team to share about the good and extensive work of our association.
Thank you, Leslie. The first and most important thing I want to tell you today is that I am so grateful for you, all of you, and for your good work. You inspire me and give me hope. I am honored to have a ministry with and for you that is dedicated to the flourishing of all of our many ministries in the world. One of the things that I love about my work is the way that I get glimpses into your vocational worlds and diverse expressions of ministry among us. Now, personally, I remain affiliated with a congregation. I preach monthly. I offer pastoral care in that setting on occasion as a way of staying well connected to congregational life. And I continue to take continuing education classes regularly so that I can remain current in my practice and keep learning and growing and developing new skills for ministry. I broaden and deepen where I can, but the longer that I am in this role and the more I learn about you and your ministry settings, it really has expanded my understanding of the range of possibilities that a life in ministry affords. Now, I am not trying to like wear rose-colored glasses and say that everything is easy because I share the assessments about how challenging this time is, but I just want to say some words of appreciation and recognition of the range of our ministries. It's often said that ministry is a wonderful way to be a generalist, but it's also true that ministry affords opportunities for specializing too. And among us, there are people who have really honed their understanding of diverse expressions, diverse ways of being a minister in the world. For example, we have people who are really skilled at understanding trauma and skills for trauma-informed practices. We have people who really have deepened their capacity to practice the arts of spiritual care and spiritual direction, of chaplaincy, of pastoral care, of community care and community development. Among us are people who have deep understanding of community organizing, asset mapping, power analysis, theories of change, and deep skills in mobilizing people to work for justice of all kinds in diverse coalitions. We have among us brilliant theologians, creative faith formation specialists, talented educators, right alongside imaginative and soulful liturgists, ritual artists, poets, authors, musicians, and artists of all kinds. Our ministry holds people exceptionally skilled in the arts of administration, communication, human resources, financial management, stewardship, and increasingly with technology. This is not an exhaustive list. I could go on. But I share some of these ways that people really deepen and grow in ministry because for all of the challenges that we face in the landscape of religious life and leadership right now, we also have tremendous gifts among us to meet the challenges of our time. Just like we say in the flower celebration that so many of us are celebrating right now in our various congregational and community contexts, You all, individual members of the UMA, are lovely on your own. And when we join together as the members of the UMA, we make up a powerful, beautiful, diverse, faithful community of leaders. Thank you for being part of our UUMA.
When I joined the UUMA staff nearly 6 years ago, I had no idea how gratifying this work would be. One opportunity that I am grateful for is supervising our intern, Aaron Morton. Aaron has been an excellent addition to our staff team, bringing his gifts of care, creativity, technical skills, and vision to our work. We miss him here at the UUMA, but are glad that he can still be with us as a member. We look forward to seeing how his ministry unfolds. Aaron, in gratitude for your time with us, we are sending you a UUMA stole. May you wear it proudly. The launch of our new website this year opened up some new possibilities in thinking about lifelong learning. We now have a resource library where we can host helpful resources that can support your ministry. Our next goal is to expand that library. We recognize that there are many directions and resources we can draw upon, and so I need your help prioritizing where to begin. We have created a form to get some input on the resource areas that would be helpful for you. And this will provide us with areas of focus for this coming of year. The link to this forum will be in the chat and in this week's e-newsletter and also on the resource library page itself. We have also begun envisioning our programming for the next few years. With GA being virtual next year, we plan to have Ministry Days also be a virtual event. As we review our programming needs for next year, we are exploring partnerships to create potential in-person connections. One of these partnerships is with Martha Valentin, UUA Professional Development Director. And we are creating together a community ministers retreat. And we are going to need a few people to help serve on a program planning team. And Martha will be sending an invitation to community ministers about serving on this team. So please take a look out for that and consider serving with us in shaping this retreat. We have begun planning for the next institute, which will be in 2025 or 2026. We are conscious that some states are no longer safe for all of our members, and we are exploring different options regarding place and time of year. In this consideration, we have begun a conversation with Lareda to see if some sort of partnership in the fall might be possible, which expands our options for locations. We will keep you posted as things develop.
This August, I will celebrate 20 years of working for and with you. And while so much has changed since my first day, I must truly say my gratitude to be able to work in a space that is flexible, supportive, and dedicated to its mission of love and liberation, a place where I can make mistakes, learn new skills, and develop all of my humanness remains constant in me. I want to appreciate our dedicated volunteers. The absolute best part of the job is working with all of you, especially our board leaders who have said yes to leadership at a time when the path is anything but clear, at a time where time is anything but clear. Thank you, Leslie Takahashi, Wendy Bartel, Carol Thomas-Sissel, Marlene Walker, Connie Simon, Natalie Fenimore, and Nick Cable. Natalie, we offer you our gratitude for your commitment and leadership as you depart our board, and hope you take with you the sure knowledge that you have made a meaningful difference in the lives of your colleagues. Joseph Santos Lyons, we look forward to welcoming you to the board table in just a few weeks. It's also my great privilege to take this time to thank our incredible staff. It is a joy to work with each one of them. The Reverend Michelle Favreau, Hannah Franco Isaacs, Allison King, and the Reverend Jan Taddeo bring joy, skill, and humility to their work. The UUMA's ministries and programs are possible only because of their dedicated efforts. And boy, let me tell you, they also bring the fun. We know it's hard to keep track of all the things your UUMA is working on, so we'd like to lift up our written annual report, which is also recorded in our podcast. Please know that we love talking with our members. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about anything that is in any of our written reports or spoken here today, please reach out. The three of us can be reached most easily at exec@uuma.org. If you would like us to have a phone conversation, please leave your phone number in the email along with the subject, and the team member who's best poised to answer those questions will reach out and schedule a call with you. The links to our packets and our audio recording should be in the chat for you as well. If you've not reviewed it already, we hope you'll find some time this summer to read or listen to those reports. In this very precious time, we'd like to remind you of our working plan, the what we do.
So I'm going to speak of the first two, and there's some overlap between these two. So I want to lift up a few highlights in each. We maintain guidelines and offer accountability processes, and we support ministers in all stages and settings. A few things I'd like to lift up. We are continuing to collaborate very closely on the shared guidelines project. So as a reminder, this is also sometimes called the Common Ethics Panel. This is an effort to work across all of our professional associations and with the UUA to create a common set of guidelines for all religious professionals and a shared process for accountability amongst all religious professionals. So the first part of that has advanced, and all of the religious professional associations have identified what is already in common in all of our guidelines. That's the ethical code of conduct. And the next part of that is really to identify what is an accountability process that we can hold in common as well. That's the work of the next year, and we'll have much more to say about that as that unfolds. The next phase is for the boards of each of the professional associations to take a look at a draft and give feedback. And then sometime middle of next program year, we'll have that to circulate and get feedback from the members of all of our organizations as well. Good offices is a big part of my work. I love working with all of you who serve in the Ministry of Good Offices. We couldn't do it without the many people who say yes to that important ministry for ministers. You all know that we have chapter elected good offices people. I want to remind you that we have dedicated good offices people, and we have a good offices right relationship team, which exists to support members whenever there are breaks in covenant amongst one another. I also want to remind you that a few years ago, we amended our guidelines as an association to say that we want to lean more into restorative practices, restorative ways of being with one another, and our Good Offices Right relationship team is really committed to that work. We conducted an interview with two of our members, Reverend Clyde Grubbs and Reverend Ren Rowe McFadden, who were raised in communities that are restorative in culture. And this interview that is in the chat is just an hour long, and it's a really rich conversation. So I commend that to you. Another highlight from the work of Good Offices that I'm so excited to share is that we have now launched our Good Offices contract call negotiation support team. This is a wonderful group of colleagues who has completed training. They were all trained this winter and spring, and they are available to work with colleagues who are negotiating new contracts or letters of agreement for new ministries and want some help either in the technical or negotiation skill arena. They're available to support renegotiation mid-call, mid-contract after some years in a ministry. And they're also available to support negotiated resignations. You can find lots more about how to reach the team. Basically, all of the information is under the Good Offices tab on our website. So there's lots of information there. And I'm always happy to speak with you about Good Offices and help you get connected to the Good Offices person who can best support you in your particular circumstance. I also want to highlight that we have had a collegial conversation series this year. We had a different topic each month, January through May. And the reason we tried this is because years ago, this used to be part of ministry days. And we found that it was a time that people often chose to skip, no shade. You know, there's lots of competing demands and priorities for our time when we're in together for that limited, precious in-person time. And so this was a way of trying to see if we could increase access to important collegial conversations. And it worked really well. So I'm planning to do this again next year. You can find the recordings of all the collegial conversations on our website and on our podcast. We always publish them in our weekly news as well. One of those conversations was a multi-generational collegial conversation. We collaborated with leaders of the UU Retired Ministers Partners Association and wonderful volunteers in our collegial development team to create specifically multi-generational conversations. And we're planning to do more of that next year as well, because I think we all know that generational tensions is a struggle, not just in our UUMA, but in our congregations and our society at large. But it can also be a joy and a source of inspiration and richness for us. And so we'd like to really deepen our capacity to have meaningful multi-generational relationships and conversations. I'm very excited to say that we are collaborating with the UUA on revising and expanding our mentoring resources. We really want to develop our capacity to offer robust mentoring across the lifespan of ministry. Many people think of mentoring for the beginning of ministry, when we're in formation and when we're in preliminary fellowship. We have a vision of mentoring across the lifespan in many situations and settings and for different needs. And so we are very, very pleased to have funding and collaboration with the UUA and partners. Reverend Larry Pierce and Reverend Kimberly Quinn Johnson are going to be working with us as consultants to expand and deepen our mentoring resources. And that will be forthcoming in the next year. The Minister for Formation Network remains an important part of what we do, and I appreciate Reverend Michelle Favreau's leadership in as our Minister of Formation Network manager, and all of you who participate. That's another place where we have so many volunteers who say yes to the important work of supporting the next generation of ministers, and so many people in formation who understand that this is a vital way to start their vocational lives among Unitarian Universalists in deep, rich and connected relationship in this collegial community. And finally, I'd like to mention that chapter leader support is an important part of what we do. I'm certainly not the only one. All of the staff really supports chapter leaders in various ways. One of the ways that I've been trying to prioritize is really helping provide resources for our chapter leaders to have what they need to lead and to have spaces for conversation and connection and networking. We're also really trying to understand the changing landscape of chapters, which of course is changing just like everything else is changing, and to figure out what's needed in the next phase of the life of the UMA to make not just chapters, but all of the ways that we connect collegially vital sources of support. So those are a few things. Derek, I'll turn it to you.
Thank you, Melissa. Our third goal area is we work to dismantle systems and structures of racism and oppression. In all of the work that we do, we follow the guidance of the Widening the Circle of Concern report and all of our planning and all of our thinking of what's next and what are we doing. And an example of some of that work is as we were thinking about the Ministry Days keynote, that we were really intentional thinking about how do we bring in BIPOC theological voices to really consider what is going on. And so we're really excited to have Dr. Ciamara coming to speak to us and sharing about inclusion and really thinking about a theology that thinks about what is the reality of inclusion, not just in our intellectual understanding of it, but what does it mean in practice. This year, we partnered with the Beloved Conversations program out of Meadville to offer an anti-racism, anti-oppression session for our volunteers. And we are in conversations to see how we can continue to work together, drawing on their skills and expertise in the work that we are doing. We've also been partnering with the UUA and the Neurodivergent Skill Up webinars. And this has been just a wonderful opportunity, one of great partnership between the two institutions to work, together to provide opportunities for learning and growth, where we're really engaging not only understanding the experience of those who are neurodivergent, but how that affects our context, our Unitarian Universalist context, whether it's in our congregations or in our institutions or what other communities, to really rethink what needs to shift and change as we start to understand more and more what it means to be inclusive of all different types of people. And our focus next year is going to be on justice around neurodivergence. So we hope that you continue to enjoy these webinars, and you can get past ones on our website. So if you haven't been able to attend, you can get all the recordings on our website. And I encourage you to engage in this piece of learning. I'll also highlight that we are having our last one of this fiscal year tomorrow. This is on the intersection of BIPOC identity and neurodivergence, and it will be at 1 Eastern. So please come and attend that webinar if you can. There is definitely room for more people to attend. Our fourth goal is promoting lifelong growth and learning in ministry. Over this year, we have been engaging in a review process of our continuing education standards. And I want to offer gratitude for those who are able to participate in a focus group this spring to help us reflect on what's working, what's not, what might need to change. We will be launching at Ministry Days a survey, which will give us some more information to help us see ways that we can really fine-tune our standards to meet the needs of our members, with the idea that the purpose of the standards is to support and encourage lifelong learning. That is really the goal of this, and helping us feel have a supportive process in order to be encouraged to engage in that work. So we are looking at different ways to do that, even in terms of thinking about how, what naming that we're using and the language that we're using about it. And we're open to whatever is might be more helpful for you. So please, when the survey launches, we hope that you fill it out. It'll be open all summer. So I look forward to hearing your responses on what can make the continuing education standards work for you. And finally, I want to lift up coaching. Our coaching program is one of our strong programs that sometimes people don't think about until they actually need it. But it is such an important ministry that we offer, where we are able to connect people with a peer coach to help you wrestle with whatever question in your ministry that you need to work through. And we work with people from trying to deal with a particular situation in their congregation that they're trying to understand, to thinking about the search process, to helping strengthen skills in their ministry. We do definitely want to you to take advantage of this very affordable coaching opportunity. And we have some great coaches, and we are in the process of building our training program to expand our coaching opportunity, our coaches as well. So I look forward to having you being part of our coaching program. Now I'll pass it to Jeanette.
Thank you, Derek. I just want to take a moment to breathe. And I, you know, as I'm thinking of 20 years, that's a lot of programming we didn't do 20 years ago when I came here. And to do this kind of incredible, robust programming, and that's no shade. We did some really good programming then, but not the breadth and width and different types of offerings for the very diverse membership we have. In order to be able to do that, we have to have strong operations. And we also have to have a strong membership. I want to take a moment to reiterate what Carol had said earlier. Our membership, first of all, is strong. We're doing good. We're on a steady trajectory. You can see the membership report in our written materials. But we are going to, the staff and board are going to be working together this summer and fall to reach out to folks whose memberships have lapsed or dropped, more than likely no fault of their own over oversight, and to do a more intentional recruiting to those folks. In part, we want them to know about the great work we do, and we want them to be in our collegial connection. Operations is our fifth goal. We conduct our operations in alignment with our values. The UMA continues to grow into an ever stronger association, maintaining a firm financial grounding while striving to be a fair and equitable employer. This year, we expanded our staff, and we were also pleased to be able to provide a creative sabbatical for Melissa Carvel-Zemer. A creative sabbatical and also very well deserved. We think it went very well. We were able to support it mostly internally by the dedicated work of our staff, who is always willing to do whatever needs to be done to support the work of each other. One of our major tasks this year was to move to a new website. We want to thank the scores of volunteers who gave their time and talents to help sort, archive, and move over 1,400 pages of content to our new home on the web. While the new site is a great improvement from our previous provider, we're still working to iron out some wrinkles. I'm sure you've seen a few of those wrinkles. You know, every something new takes time to learn, and there is no perfect system. So things that we loved about the old site aren't there anymore, but there's so much more to love about this new site. And we're looking forward to delving into how we can improve this site. We're very excited to be working with developers who are not only UUs, they are also committed to hearing our issues and doing the best they can to work to resolve them. Not always, we can't guarantee a timeline, but in the fall, look for a detailed plan for phase two. As we navigate through these challenging economic times, I want to hold up that the UMA remains committed to maintaining a robust scholarship fund. People know that quite often. My one sermon is usually money should never be what stops you from being a member of the UMA or from participating in our programming. In order to do that, we need a robust scholarship fund. And this year we have had record numbers of requests. And we're very grateful we were able to provide some level of support to all who requested. But in order to keep doing that, we require the generosity of our members who may have a little extra to give to be able to replenish this fund, especially with a institute coming up. There'll be a collection at Ministry Days to help replenish both the scholarship fund and the sustainability funds. But if you are in a position to make a donation today, you can do so by clicking the link in the chat. And I'm going to name the next, our next and final goal. I want to take a moment to check the chat. I think, okay, thank you. Our next and final goal is shared between the three of us. So I'm going to name it, and then Derek will start with the first part. We provide spiritual, theological, and religious leadership throughout Unitarian Universalism.
So we are working hard to understand how the landscape of religious life and leadership is changing, and figuring out how the UUMA needs to change to meet these changing times. So we are doing a lot of research and conversations to find opportunities for a dialogue across all the organizations and institutions in the UU world, so that we can have a better understanding and position the UUMA to serve our, help serve our members, serve this particular time at this moment. Jeanette?
Just like in our congregations and communities, our UUMA needs to continue to work on our capacities to deepen our anti-racist, anti-oppressive practices, and to strengthen our capacity to connect deeply and collaboratively across difference. We're doing that on our staff, in our volunteer teams, and throughout the association. Melissa.
And advocacy, which is a focal point and the focus of our conversations shortly in this meeting. I just want to take a moment to highlight that we're really focusing on increasing our resourcing for community ministers generally, and seeking to understand how we can improve our advocacy for community ministers in general and chaplains in particular. So we had a collegial conversation for professional chaplains this last year and created a summary document of things that we heard. There's a slide that I hope you can see. I tried to create a summary of what we learned from that collegial conversation and the outreach that followed. So there are six major areas where we can seek to improve our advocacy for professional chaplains. That includes collegiality within the UMA. A couple of highlights in that area are more collegial conversations for chaplains and chaplain-specific mentoring program, education for chaplains, and you can see a couple of highlights there. And then the others are external to the UMA, places where chaplains in our midst would welcome additional advocacy. And that includes education for other colleagues, especially those in the parish. I'd like to underscore that many chaplains, but also community ministers in general, sometimes feel that parish colleagues do not have a strong understanding of the particulars of their ministries, and don't always have a great understanding about how community ministers and chaplains have full and robust ministries in other settings, and what is appropriate and fair to expect in terms of affiliation with a congregation. I also want to highlight that we've heard feedback consistently that it would be helpful if we reserve the word chaplain for professional chaplains who undergo a great deal of specialized training in order to earn that credential. Advocacy with the UUA, and some of that is already ongoing and bearing fruit. Advocacy with other organizations, one of the things that I'm hoping we can work on in the future is creating template letters and promotional materials that UMA members can use with their employers that might help them gain paid time off to attend UU events, and also to advocate on their own behalf with regard to housing allowance, salary, and staffing ratios. And then finally, financial. It's really important for us to understand as a body that professional chaplains and community ministers in general don't have the kind of resourcing that many in the parish have with professional development funds. And so I would like to offer that one of the ways that we can support community ministers in attending and participating in UUMA events is by making sure we have robust scholarship funds. So again, that link in the chat, if you are in the fortunate position of having a robust professional development fund and you have resources that you're not going to spend, perhaps you might donate some of those to the UUMA so that we can, to our scholarship fund, so that we can help support our community minister colleagues in accessing UUMA programming. Jeanette, you've got the closing words.
Oh, great. I didn't miss the color. I want to say as well, talking about professional development funds, the sustainability fund, that was a birthed during the pandemic. And we have revisited the purpose of that fund. And part of it is intended to help support folks who do not have professional development funds. We can't give giant awards until that fund becomes a giant fund, but we are able to, so if you want your donations to specifically help others who do not have professional funds, consider your donation to the Sustainability Fund, which is a link off of our giving page, which is in the chat. In closing, we want to share how excited we are to welcome you at our upcoming 2023 Ministry Days. Whether in Pittsburgh, our virtual space, or some mixture of the two, it will be good to be together. We are busy preparing, and there are a few things we want to lift up here. We know it's hard to track all the details, even for us. Every morning I wake up thinking, oh, don't forget that. And I write it down and I still forget it until I find that note a little bit later. So we encourage you to keep an eye on the UUMA webpage latest news section for reminders and updates. All of those latest news go to some form of social media, but if you do not participate on social media, everything that goes to social media also gets pasted to the latest news. We sent out our first countdown to the ministry days yesterday, mixing up my days. That was just yesterday that went out, and we'll be preparing and sending out another one next week. We're using the same virtual platform for our 2023 ministry days. It's our hope that this continues to make it easy to access our programming, whether you're at home or in Pittsburgh in a hotel room or Airbnb or in the convention center. We've received very good feedback. So you heard Carol mention the increasing costs of doing multi-platform events. The cost is mostly driven by audiovisual. But the upside to that is paying for the audiovisual gives us a great virtual platform with a help desk. So there are folks on call to help if you encounter any programs. Now, that being said, please note, if you register after midnight on Sunday, June 18th, it could take up to 24 hours. We have a Cracker Jack staff, but they are not on call. They're not on their email 24 hours a day, especially when the event starts. So please, 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 if you're planning on participating in ministry days, either virtually or in person, please, please, please register today. If you're not registered, you can check out the link in the chat, and that works the same way in our new website. You'll be able to see if you're registered. Please don't register twice, but please do register if you're planning to attend. And that ends our executive team report. And again, we'll say we look forward to hearing from you. If there's anything you want to hear more about, please, please reach out. exec@uuma.org is our email address. Leslie, back to you.
Thank you, Jeanette and Derek and Melissa, for your words. And we really appreciated that report. Your board was turning our videos off because of the bandwidth issue that some were having, but we were very excited to listen to even more of your work. So thank you. We want to just take a moment and highlight something that's been said a couple times, perhaps a little too casually, and which we'll talk about again when we're at Ministry Days. But we just want to turn on the chat for a few minutes and talk about so that we can honor Jeanette Lawlier for 20 years coming up of service to our Ministers Association. So if you would like to add a word of thanks and gratitude in the chat at this time, we're going to let you do that. And more to come on this, but we're really grateful for that consistent presence. Thank you. As I mentioned yesterday, a major focus of our dialogue sessions this year has been a discussion about whether the UUMA as a whole needs to take a larger role with advocacy on the behalf of us as ministers. As you heard, our executive team already does a great deal in this area, and we are trying to figure out what are the most important things to do in this time. So as we did on Tuesday, we are going to again gather in collegial circles, this time to discuss some reflection questions around advocacy and accountability, with a specific emphasis on congregational and organizational accountability, because we've had concerns voiced about congregations and other organizations that our community ministers work in. So the groups on Tuesday offered collegial connections that we need, and we're going to invite you again not to have this be the place that you make up some time in your schedule, but that you actually stay with us so that we might have your input on these important matters. We need this information to guide our work as your board, and we specifically designed this meeting to allow these times for our collegial circles to meet. As I mentioned on Tuesday, we are having these almost monthly dialogue sessions that we had through the fall and the spring, and they've begun to coalesce around, actually, I would say a couple months ago, they've coalesced around some issues related to advocacy and accountability. I want to take a few minutes just to very quickly go over some of the things that we heard. There were some questions that were raised, especially in the fall, and they were questions of, I would say, of a fairly high magnitude. Is there a crisis in the ministry? What can we do to make ministry a livable profession? And that issue of whether or not ministry is a livable profession was probably the dominant theme of our first two dialogue sessions. Again, I will commend to you the program about the trends in parish ministry that aired in May, the proceeds of which both the video and also the dialogue session itself around that are both available through the website. Some of the specific things that people came to as we talked about these two larger questions is, what are the changes we need to the terms of our general agreements that we have, our kind of standards of how we work in ministry, in congregational settings, for example? Should the norm in these times of so much stress and the ability to be reached literally 24/7, should the norm be 2 days off? Should it be a suggested cap on hours that's much more reasonable than what many of us experience now? What are the standards for part-time ministry in this area? What is being done to hold congregations accountable and to address consistent misconduct in congregations? What is happening as far as issues with congregational records and also ministerial records, and what it means to be fired or have a search hold? Is there a dialogue with our colleagues who are on the UUA staff around these issues? There's also been a significant amount of conversation about the lack of clarity of the roles of regional staff regarding ministers, especially again in congregational settings. Again, with respect for our colleagues who serve in this capacity, just recognizing that we really aren't getting consistent messages about where they fit in terms of our conflicts, perhaps with congregational leaders. So, and we've had some conversation about the need for better processes for conflict resolution that might be more standard across our association, and the need for training of colleagues who are non-ministerial colleagues on sexual misconduct and boundary issues. So those are some of the issues that we've talked about to date. We know that in this post-2020 world, we have jobs that are disturbingly different, yet they carry many of the same demands, if not more. We need to be able to advocate for these issues that are priorities, and to know, as far as our association is concerned, what are the priorities for the resources we have, and to understand that that will need to reflect priorities across a spectrum of different kinds of ministries. So as we enter into the second round of collegial circles, what we would like to ask you to do is to identify which of these areas of advocacy and accountability resonate with you? And we probably should get the content of that slide copied into the chat before we go into the breakout rooms. What else would you add? So the question, what are, of these areas of advocacy and accountability resonate with you, and what else would you add? And we're going to copy the question. I hope we can also copy the content of that last slide that I just shared. As we enter into these conversations, I again ask on behalf of the board that you do so with curiosity about one another and the willingness to be authentic as well. To take care as we enter in, remembering that we are now the survivors of a global pandemic and that it has literally been years since many of us have seen one another face to face, which means the chances that we will misidentify or misaddress one another are heightened. So please, please, especially be careful in that area. As we continue to build our skills of talking across difference among us, let us be willing to name gently if we're able to do so in the moment. If something someone says in one of these groups causes us harm, let us be willing, if we are the person who has caused that harm, to hear with grace if we can summon it, and in the spirit of the growth that fuels our living tradition. So we want to continue to learn together. And we, as your board and also in conjunction with our work with the executive team, need to be able to learn from where you are and what you need. So these collegial circles are a precious, precious opportunity to hear from one another about what we need and what we together might have more voice to address to make the profession and our callings sustainable over these coming years. So we are going to move to small group breakouts, and I'm going to acknowledge Hannah to tell us the logistics in a minute. I'm going to say that I'm going to ask folks to take a 3-minute stretch break because we have been going for a while, and then we're going to go into our breakouts. We'll come back from our breakouts at about 1:35. So pace yourself through your discussion accordingly. Okay. Well, thank you all for participating in that conversation, and appreciate that we had this opportunity to have what were very important conversations. I really appreciated my collegial circle, and I hope that you did as well. And I think that one thing I will say personally is, if you have comments or concerns, questions about the process of how we've been trying to collect information, have dialogue with each other, please feel free to send them to me at president@uuma.org. I will be glad to receive those. So we are going to continue with our recognition and thanks. And I'm going to turn it over to our vice president on the board, Nick Cable.
Thanks, Leslie. Everyone can hear me good. I'm Nick Cable, and I use he, him pronouns. I live on the ancestral lands of the Miami, Shawnee, and Delaware in what is now Columbus, Indiana. And I acknowledge the pain and legacy both of those namings hold, Columbus and Indiana, and seek to do better in my life and ministry on this land. I also serve our association as vice president of the board and am thankful you are still with us this afternoon. In a moment, we will be honoring those who are ending their service or have been serving us. Everyone might not be transitioning off. And in various committees. And it is good and right that so many of us are here to recognize and give thanks for their service. I do not need to say the trying times we have been living in as religious leaders, and to choose to serve our colleagues on top of ministering faithfully in all the ways we do is a gift. It's a blessing. Today, we lift up and celebrate the work of many, including our outgoing nominating committee members, Amy Williams-Clark and Amy DeBeck. Thank you for your steadfast care and assurance that our association has leaders that reflect the beauty, diversity, and strength of our membership. We also want to recognize members of the Bylaws Committee, who we talked about their work earlier on Tuesday, for their diligent and thoughtful consideration of our bylaws, including Diana McLean, Patrick McLaughlin, Lisa Presley, Diana Smith, Wendy Bartel, and Jeanette Lallier. We also are grateful to those who serve on our two guidelines committees, the Joint Agreement Alignment Team, which include Greg Carroll Boyd, Jennifer Hamlin Navias, Michelle Walsh, and Sean Newton, and the Guidelines Definition Team, Barbara Kuiman, Diana Dowser, Kaylee Fry, and Jennifer Peak. And I apologize if I'm mispronouncing any of your names, and I hope to learn if I don't know you that well. Thanks also go to those members who have been who have made themselves available to review and make recommendations regarding complaints. While we are grateful we have not had to call on them this year, having them on the team makes our association stronger. Thank you to Seth Carrier-Ladd, Walter LaFleur, Leah Ungiri, Nathan Ryan, Jen Rue, and Amy Shaw. And finally, thanks to those dedicated members who have represented the UUMA, the Ministerial Fellowship Committee this past year. That includes Jacqueline Brett, Jacqueline Clement, Amanda Poppy, and Greg Ward. We honor and celebrate all of the other ways so many of you give back on committees, teams, and short-term volunteer opportunities, such as assisting with the annual meeting this year. Thank you. Thank you for leading by example and for the gifts you bring to our association.
Thank you, Nick. As Nick said, the board has been enriched by all of these volunteers. And especially, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the wisdom and perspective of the Reverend Dr. Natalie Fenimore, who will be leaving our board this year, who brings not only an abundance of wisdom, but also an unflappable sense that things will right themselves, which in these times has been incredibly helpful to us. So serving with Natalie is an honor and was a special help to me personally during my first 2 years on the board. So we want to take a moment and say thank you to Natalie for her service on our board. And finally, as a board, we want to again honor and recognize the executive team of Jeanette Lollier, Derek Jackson, and Melissa Carville-Zemer, as well as the staff who serve us so well for the other 363 days of the year when we're not convened in this meeting. For their advocacy and support, we are truly grateful. And now we will proceed with our installation for our incoming board and nominating committee. I know we need to take a minute.
Let's see, I think you're muted. Leslie, I think you're muted.
Got almost to the end of the meeting without that. Now, as we turn to welcome our newly elected leaders for the board, Carol Thomas Sissel and Joseph Santos Lyons, and for the nominating committee, John Coffey and Edith Love. I'm going to take a moment while we get everybody on the screen. Great. Those of you, many of you know that Joseph's ministry currently is in the Philippines. So for those of you that are feeling any kind of time zone pressure, believe me, you're not experiencing what Joseph would be if he was able to be with us today. So that is important. So as we begin this process of installation, we have three questions for you. And we, of course, hope that you will be able to honestly answer each with a yes. I will ask the first question, and my colleagues, Nick and Connie, will ask the others. The first one. As we engage the work before us, we are mindful that the work is grounded in covenantal relationship. Will you allow us to come to know you and be known by you, to work to build trust with roots that go deeper than agreement and disagreement, and with strong branches that can yet bend with the winds of change? If so, I invite you to unmute and respond yes.
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 As we engage the work before us, we are mindful that the work is carried out by full human selves. Will you work with us to remind one another of what is needed to honor that reality for each of us and to be inclusive and respectful? If so, I invite you to unmute and respond, yes.
Yes. Yes.
As we engage the work before us, we are mindful that our best current articulation of the work in which we are engaged is captured in our why statement, which says, the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association calls forth courageous and transformative ministries empowered by love, committed to collective liberation because we need one another.
Will you bring your wisdom, your experience, your heart, and your courage to help us to continue exploring all that this means and to realize it as best we can for the members of this association and in the wider world? If so, I invite you to unmute and say yes.
Yes. Yes.
We are grateful for the fact that you have answered yes to this call to leadership. We are honored to have you join our leadership or parts of our board and nominating committee. And we look forward to engaging in the work that lies ahead together. I next recognize, as we move towards adjournment, Natalie Fenimore, our outgoing at-large board member with the portfolio, who's been holding the portfolio of anti-racism, anti-oppression, and multiculturalism, to share some closing words.
Because ours is a faith tradition and a ministry that has always had more diversity than we have often acknowledged, I want to close with these words from Lewis Allen McGee, who became a Unitarian Universalist minister in 1949 after leaving the Army in World War II, who was an African-American humanist, a member of the American Humanist Association, and a founder of congregations, and a person who held high the hopes of our faith. He wrote these words: our religion is a religion of social concern, a religion of intellectual and ethical integrity, a religion that emphasizes the dynamic conception of history and the scientific worldview, a religion that stresses the dignity and worth of the person as a supreme value and goodwill as the creative force in human relations. This religion can and ought to become a beacon from which this kind of faith shines. I believe that our commitment as members of the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association is to move forward visions like those which Lewis McGee pointed us towards. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you, Natalie, and thank you for your service. You. Colleagues, we have faithfully assembled to do the business of our association. We hope to see many of you, either virtually or in person, at ministry days in just some days ahead. And in the meantime, or until we are together again, we hope that you will remember you are loved, that you too are the embodiment of what is good. Remember that you're part of the hope for this one precious, flawed world of which we are a part, and take good care of yourself in these next demanding days. Now, it is not, we've had a lot of conversation about whether we need an actual vote to adjourn, and it doesn't look like we actually do, but we've decided that it would be really wonderful, and we have one more announcement after we finish this, but just to have for a minute a show of hands so that we can see each other voting to adjourn for just a minute. Take it some time to do so. So we're grateful. I know that we have our video off. Maybe you can just turn your video on for just 1 minute or so. And we've got lots of people raising their hands, we see. So thank you all for being such faithful attendants at this meeting. And with that, we do have the gather space will be open and we have other announcements. And I turn it over for those announcements to Melissa. Thank you all for your participation this week.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you all. The gather space is going to open momentarily and will stay open for as long as you like to gather. We thought that we might have time for breakout collegial conversations on topics of your choice. So we invited you to raise your hand if you wanted to have such a conversation. And we had so many conversations here that with 9 minutes, we think we'll hold those. So I want you to know if you submitted a topic, one was on mid-sized congregations, one was on dual affiliation, one was on chaplaincy. There will be spaces in the virtual space of Ministry Days, 3 different spaces for those kinds of conversations, and in the in-person Ministry Days at lunch on Wednesday. So there'll be spaces there. And if you are not participating in Ministry Days and you want to have this be a collegial conversation in the series next winter, let me know and I'll be happy to talk with you about that. Otherwise, if you're not going to gather, then thank you again so much for joining us here today. It's been a joy to be with you.